Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, it's time for Office Talk with two of my favorite gals. I have Carla, my office manager and steady woman in my life for the last 7 years. Hey, Carla.
Hi.
And I also have the amazing Carmen, my medical assistant and right-hand girl in the back office. Hey, Carmen.
Hello, hello.
So, Carmen has only been with us for a little while, almost coming up on your first trimester with us.
Yes, very excited.
But those of you who don't know Carmen, you'll meet her when you come to my office, and she is a big ball of energy and love and warmth and just like such a good vibe. So I think I hired her on the spot when she told me that she had triplets. Triplets. Tell us about triplets.
I have two girls and a boy. They're 20 years old in college, and they're great. They're living a wonderful life, and they make me proud every day.
And as a mother of twins myself, having had a boy and a girl twin, I remember thinking, there is no way any woman could ever have triplets. Like, how could you survive that? I barely could survive having twins.
It was really hard.
And Carla, you have a son. How old is your son?
My son's about 15 and a half.
And Carla and I have known each other since, like, at least 7 or 8 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, since we were young. Yeah, we still are young. We still are young. How old is your son?
He's about 15 and a half. He's about to be 16.
And he's like 6 foot tall football player.
Yes. It's like very tall, energetic, very.
Big ball of energy.
Yes.
So, Carmen, you had triplets and I had twins. Carla has a singleton. After having twins and then I had two singleton pregnancies, that was not hard at all compared to twins or triplets. But I know, Carla, your son is huge. He probably eats a ton.
Yes.
He was probably born like a little miniature football player, right?
He was about 8 pounds. I was like, wow.
That's a big baby.
It is.
So let's talk about a few things on the podcast today. I think we should talk about, Carmen, you just had your face done. So
very exciting.
It was the first time you've ever had injectables.
First time I've had anything in my face, Botox, injectables. So I was kind of ready. I was looking forward to it for a couple of weeks. And then when the moment came, I was petrified. But you made it so easy and so nice, and I did not feel pain at all. It was great. A little bruising, but that's about it.
That's about it. What was the motivating factor? Because you'd been watching women get their faces done for the last couple months, and I know I see in your eyes when your eyes would glimmer and you'd be like, that looks amazing. I could tell that you were sort of talking yourself through the idea of getting fillers.
It's probably the first time I've done anything for myself. You know, as a mother, I think we always do something for our kids. Everything's about, I'm the kind of mother that everything's for my kids. So for me to do something for myself, it was just like, wow, it felt good. It was just kind of a pivotal moment in my life. So it was good, and I want to keep it up. I also have a wedding coming up. I have a girlfriend of mine from high school that's getting remarried at the end of this week on Friday. And she looks amazing. She's always been the friend that has had Botox since age 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if she couldn't afford it, she would rather not eat but do her Botox and take care of her face. And honestly, she looks amazing. She's 50. She's going to be 59 years old at the end of July, and she's marrying her high school sweetheart.
That's so cute.
They've rekindled after, you know, 40 years later. And
Second marriage.
Second
so it's
marriage
like the rebirth. That's
for
so
both.
Nice.
Yeah. For both. They did it in high school, and they got back together about 7 years ago. And now they're going to have a small intimate wedding on Friday. So I'm kind of excited to go and say, okay, well, you did it. Because she's always like, what are you doing? You need to do something with your face. I'm like, oh, but I don't know. I'm so scared. I don't want to look crazy. And she's the one that started talking me into like getting it done. So when I got here, I thought, okay, it doesn't get better than Dr. K. So this is as good as it's ever going to be. So if I'm ever going to get something done, it has to be now.
And Carmen was very petrified, I have to say. Like one of the most petrified people, because I would offer like almost every other Friday, like, you, Carmen, ready? Want to do a little talks or something? A little something? And she would just be like, thanks.
I think I'll wait another week.
So
it's been great, and I can't wait. Nice. I can't wait to the bruising to be gone.
Did you notice
Friday.
That your Botox is working today? Because your brows are up.
My brows are up, and I can still do this. I can still kind of frown
a little, but it hasn't quite been a week. So,
but I can't move. I don't have the accordion on my forehead like I used to have.
I just noticed
and when I smile,
it looks smooth.
I don't have, I used to be like, like lines going down the side, and it feels so much better.
So I'm going to put up a video with your before and after.
Carla, you're next.
Yeah, we did an Instagram live, and everybody asked afterwards, like, show us Carmen's pictures.
After.
So
Friday, I'm going to come and get dressed here to go to the wedding. So I'm going to leave from here.
Look at Carla. Ooh. Carla, you look scared. Carla, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you with the Botox needle one of these days, Carla.
it's just, and I think.
Would you ever do it? Would you ever
do it? I don't know. I see that, you know, all the patients come in and they want to do it. So it's kind of like, oh, like I do want to, but at the same time, I'm like,
How old are you?
I'm 37.
She's a baby.
37. Oh my God, you're ready. You have a little teeny bit of static line. So whenever you want, you're ready.
She's
got that fear look that Carmen used to have.
Yeah. You know what? I just think it's. I think once you start, like, now I'm thinking, I think I can do my under eyes.
So let's talk about filler fear.
Let's do my lips.
Let's talk about how women have filler fear, and then they have filler fantasies where they want to do too much filler.
Well, I've seen both extremes here, so yep.
So it's super important to not have fear of filler, because I always tell my patients that your filler is your mechanism of replacing the volume loss that comes with normal fat changes of your face. You start out with these juicy, lovely fat pads of the face. And if I look at the anatomy, there's like 10 facial fat pads just consolidated around your cheeks and jawline. And every decade, I would say, they shrink by 20% of what their youthful volume was. So there's no way for your poor skin envelope to hold up without using some facial fillers. There's just no way. It's the rare person that has gorgeous, amazing bone structure that keeps their face kind of supported. So if you have a high, beautiful cheekbones, you also have the gift of like anti-aging without filler. But everybody needs a little touch of filler.
Absolutely.
So I think it's important to not have filler fear. But then filler fantasy is this concept of like, okay, your skin is losing elasticity. You've had sun damage. It's a little stretchy, loose skin. And the idea that, you know, you might need a facelift when you have enough skin. If you can pull back your skin and pull back a half a centimeter on each side, in the mirror, you're always holding your neck and your chin backwards. You're ready for a facelift. No more filler fantasy. Like, sometimes you need a facelift surgery. And even though we have amazing filler technology, there's a certain amount. If you fill too much, you just look rounded and overfilled. And we've all seen, have you seen cheeks and faces that look like they have had too much work?
Yeah,
we all have. Sometimes they walk into the office from other people's work, and sometimes they see them on the street, like in Beverly Hills or, you know, different parts of town in LA. So I definitely think there's filler fear and filler fantasy. And then there's somewhere in between, there's healthy filler, which I would say is about twice a year. Average about every 6 months. Yeah, look at your face.
Going to an expert. Yes. Not a med spa. Don't go for the pricing. Don't go for what's discounted, because at the end of the day, these are long-term things that you get done to yourself. And I've seen some stuff that comes in. It's just horrible.
Yeah, it always scares me that people are so willing to let anyone with any level of training put needles into their critical structures of their face. Like, okay, you can put a needle in my butt if you have to give me a vitamin shot, and I don't need to check your medical assistant degree, because there's really nothing you can critically injure there. But your face, oh my God, how many critical facial nerves are there? And facial artery and branches of destroyable structures. So that really frightens me when people don't do a little bit of homework, you know.
And research. And know what they're getting, what they're being injected with, because I think being here in just a short time, I've seen so much silicone that's come through the door that it's being injected just nearby cities, you know, Glendale and over the valley. A lot of people are using silicone, which is completely illegal.
Completely illegal and all done quite a bit. And you know what? There's not really good guidelines for that. If I'm a doctor and I go to Tijuana or to Switzerland or Europe and get some filler from another country, it's really probably not too hard to bring that over to America and to have it shipped here and whatnot. It's generally not that hard. So unfortunately, you'll have unscrupulous individuals that will use those products. And also, you have people who are just injecting stuff that's unlabeled in their garage, and random smart patients get tricked into, oh, my girlfriend said this is the best and I'm going to do it. How many times have you heard that?
Oh, God, I hear people having like Botox parties or filler parties, and it's, well, who's doing the injecting? It's just like always kind of the question is, who's doing it? Because I'd be so scared to have somebody just put a needle in my face. Let them know where that product's coming from.
Very true.
Which is very scary.
Very true.
Got to find a reputable place. And I think, you know, you get what you pay for. And I think the peace of mind that you would have having a professional doing, having somebody who has the ENT knowledge and the structural knowledge that you're going to be safe, I think is very important, because you can really cause some damage long term.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, it's not to scare people, but definitely case reports of blindness, case reports of facial necrosis where skin kind of dies. And so I think, like, definitely do your homework. Yeah. And for younger people, like, I have 3 daughters, you have 2 daughters. Mm-hmm. Carla, you're lucky you have a boy. Boys are easy. Right?
Yes,
boys are so, I have a son too, so mm-hmm. I know what it's like. And Carmen, you have a son.
Boys are easy. Food, a steak,
give him a good meal,
shower, it's all good.
Yeah, I think they're like puppies, like a good meal, a little tummy rub, and some exercise, right? Give them their run, and they're amazing. They're just like normal, balanced, happy people. Mm-hmm. But with daughters, it's a whole different story of, like, I feel so bad for some of the Generation Z and millennials and people out there that are feeling their self-esteem torn down a little bit by these unrealistic images on Instagram.
And filters,
and also just the beauty icons that are doing so much to their bodies to achieve these goals of unattainable beauty. And it makes our daughters think that they themselves need it, and it makes them think that they are, you know, less than desirable if they're not perfect, which I think is hard, right?
I think for all parents out there, especially parents of daughters, it's, you know, guide them to the right place. If you think it's inevitable and they're eventually going to do it, guide them to a place of a knowledge and certification and where they're going to get long-term care.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had, I would say, like, our youngest filler patients would be maybe 14, 15 getting injection rhinos. And I totally understand that, because having grown up with a bump on my nose, I know it really bugged me a lot when I was younger. And you grow out of that feeling, but when you're young, it means everything to look like everybody. So patients getting rhinoplasty done at a young age, and then I've had the younger filler, like lip filler patients, age 15 or 16, where their moms bring them in. Mm-hmm. And then in the beginning, I was not very cool with that idea, right?
Yeah, I remember.
You remember?
It's a tough one.
It was sort of agonizing. You're sort of like, what do you mean? What do you mean, Carmen? How old is that patient in the room? What are you talking about? A 15-year-old who wants filler?
Yeah.
But then you go in the room and you realize that this is a very intelligent mother who brought in a little, you know, an important 15-year-old child who's at this threshold of making mm-hmm. a bad decision, where they have money, they have a car, they have friends who are doing stupid stuff. They can go anywhere in town mm-hmm. and get cheap, bad, illegal work done, no problem, and have bad consequences. So the mom,
it is.
Yeah, the moms are pretty smart, because they tell me, well, I'd rather bring her someplace reputable, because why have her get it done someplace bad and have a problem?
And I admire that mm-hmm. as much as we want to say, wow, what are they doing here? But it's either here, or they're going to push their parents and get it done somewhere by someone who doesn't have the right certifications.
Yeah, or they'll just come home one night like they do with a tattoo or a piercing, and hopefully, knock on wood, my children won't do that ever. Children, however.
And you got to value that. I mean, you got to teach your kids earlier. They're going to come to somebody that's right.
So if you have a daughter or someone who's sort of borderline and about to make a bad decision, at least give them the board certification and get it done at a good place. Like, don't let them go get it done secretly. Be open and communicate. And, you know, I don't know about your daughters, but are your daughters asking for procedures, or like, oh, I want to get this and that done on my face?
One of them wants to look like, you know, everything on Instagram. You know, I have my Lauren wants to look like, you know, she wants the fuller lips, and now she thinks that her nose is a little bulbous, and, you know, she wants to have bigger breasts. I'm like, you know, let's have this conversation in 10 years from now.
Yes, right.
Because I just think it's too soon to have that conversation. I said, you know,
yeah,
I think you're pretty as you are. And, you know, where does it stop? For me, it's like that slippery slope. If they start too early, where does it end? Where does it stop? You know, mm-hmm. they're going to get the nose and realize that that's not what was really bothering. It's going to be something else. So mm-hmm. I just think they're not... I don't think she's emotionally mature enough to undergo any type of procedure at this point in her life.
Which is interesting, because maybe your other daughter might be emotionally mature enough to make a decision, but has doesn't even talk about that.
Doesn't even talk about that. It's all what she likes. It's all interesting. As a matter of fact, I just pulled up a picture of the girls with Kylie.
Oh, cute.
With Emma.
Yeah.
And my girls. And, I mean, if you look at this picture of Kylie, it's, like, unrecognizable. Yeah. I was just looking at the phone. I was thinking about that. I remember, you know, they were 14 years old, and
how
we were
Kylie
at the Grove.
Used to be. Yeah.
We were at the Grove, and it was just like a little nothing. There was no bodyguard. It was just like, oh,
chit
chat. Oh,
my gosh, it was old Kylie.
It was just the old, and now you look at her, and it's just so, so womanly. So,
so not
such a
Kylie
big
anymore.
Woman. Such
yeah.
a, such a yeah. strong, and I mean, I admire her, what she's done with herself, but it's just a different.
It's a different person.
It's a different
yeah.
person.
It's interesting because underneath we're all still that insecure 14-year-old girl that we used to be.
So no matter how you are and how old you are, I think of her as this, and she has to be my kid's age. You know,
yeah.
she just want to cuddle in bed and.
Carmen's showing us a visual of Kylie when she was, like, literally like 15 years old, and at the mall, and her daughters ran into her, and she looks like the most innocent, cute, freckle-faced, like just normal. Teen.
Just buying jean shorts and summer tops. That
yeah,
was it.
Yeah.
Just was the highlight of her day.
And now to see her have morphed into something so womanly and so much older looking. But she is older. She's 5 years older. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, times do change and she does, but beauty does evolve and adolescence hits people differently. But I'm with you. I want my own daughters to feel emotional maturity and see the beauty in themselves, because as a teen you're at this critical age where you're very self-critical, and it's kind of sad because looking back at 20-year-old me, that was the prettiest I would have ever been in my whole entire life, and why didn't I love and appreciate that girl more?
And I thought I was fat.
Right, Carla?
Yeah.
Do you remember like when we were 20, that was the best we were ever. That is the pinnacle. So girls out there that are 20, please stop destroying yourselves. Yeah. Enjoy that beautiful girl, because she ain't coming back and she ain't getting better by the time she's 30 or 40 or 50. So, you know, cherish that little moment of beauty in your life and don't be so self-critical and don't be comparing yourself to others that much.
It's so true. I think it's you really have to get to know yourself.
You do.
I think the message out there is to be confident and be comfortable in your own skin. I mean, all these little fixes are, yeah, they're great, but they're also temporary.
And they're also confidence boosters, really.
Yeah.
More than anything, giving a patient a facial, filler, Botox, or injectable treatment is about inspiring confidence, because it's like getting a great haircut. It does not really change who I am, but it gives me that extra feeling of I'm putting out the best version of myself into the universe, and I can perform better, and I feel so good about myself. So just to remember that adding a little touch of volume here and there, it does change your appearance, but more than anything, it changes your confidence, escalates your confidence. And it's also, like you said, Carmen, like finally doing something for yourself, which is like realizing that, okay, I'm letting myself go, or realizing that, okay, if I don't invest in myself, like, what kind of message am I sending to myself that I'm not worth investing in and I don't have time for myself? Like, what? That's not a great message. So I want our young people, and also all ages, like every age, every person needs to hear this message. Like, take the time to invest in yourself and bring out your best version of yourself every day, because the days are so short. There's not a lot of days. There's not a lot of days if you really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to enjoy every day. So there you have it. That's like a little good knowledge on beauty, facial fillers, facial volumes, not having too much filler fantasy, and not letting your fantasy affect your confidence level. And remember, we see influencers all day long. We see beautiful models and actresses, famous people. I still remember the one girl that came in who was on Instagram, 4 million followers. And Carmen was like, show me your account. And then she looked at the phone, and she looked at the girl, and she looked at the phone. She was like, that is not you. That is not you. The way it's
false advertisement, yeah.
False advertising. The way they show up after removing the filter, the makeup, the, you know, the hair plugins.
The face tunes.
Like, it's literally a different person.
Yeah.
I feel like boys out there and girls out there, take note.
Yeah. Spend the weekend with them.
Push them in the pool so all the makeup comes off.
It's Spend the weekend. Let's see what happens the next morning.
Yeah.
The extensions are out of the hair. Like, what happened?
I know.
Long hair, now you have short hair.
It's possible to look good for, like, you know, 2 hours for a photo shoot with all that perfection in place. But, like, I kind of feel like I miss the old school of, like, have I ever seen anybody without makeup anymore? Carla's no makeup.
Yeah, but by November she's going to be all...
As soon as we get that Botox in, you're going to change, Carla.
I have her ready. She's going to be all ready. But the most important takeaway from all this is you have to be confident. You have to be confident. Do your homework. Know who you are. Know what you want. And this is, it's beautiful. It's a confidence that's going to give you, but it's not the end all. It's part of a pie, but it's not the entire pie. Yeah. And you have to be happy with yourself.
Yes, you do. And you have to realize that aging is inevitable too. And that is what one of our goals is, to age successfully and beautifully and confidently into each decade of our life. Like, we cannot be fixated on the 20-year-old beauties. Like, we're not 20. And 20-year-olds, you cannot fixate on the supermodel beauty. You're not going to be a supermodel. It's a one in a million thing, but you have to know that you can find some version of beauty that works for you.
Yeah.
And just enjoy each moment as it's upon you, because, like, for sure, you're so super critical when you're 20, and you need to really appreciate.
Little do we know that was the best time.
You need to appreciate the woman you are at every stage of it.
I think if I had a piece of advice, is to live in the moment, because sometimes we, even today, I catch myself not living the moment. I worry about, you know, this is going to happen and what's going to happen. I'm just not enjoying the present time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's nothing like the present, that we need to live in that moment and appreciate everything that's around us and be who we are. Be our best version of ourselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important.
And be there for each other, too. That's been so refreshing to see, Carmen, you, as you come in the room with me, and you're so hopeful and positive for the patient, and you're so encouraging, and you kind of coach them through this little bit of a tricky process the first time you're getting Botox and fillers. A little scary, and you don't know if you made the right decision to come in, and then while you have the needles in your face, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And then the next day you're all bruisey. So it's this whole sort of invasive thing that's not your normal routine, but you've decided something in your life is not quite right, and you want to change something about you, and it's your outlook, and and here we infuse this hope and warmth and love into a person so that they leave here loving themselves better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So true. Well,
so I just want to thank you. I want to thank you, and I hope you enjoy your liquid lift.
I'm loving it.
Yes.
It's going to be like a newborn in 6 months. You watch.
She's going to be like a newborn. You come into the office and meet this amazing staff. It's such a pleasure to work with these power women, my powerful Carla, who runs the whole ship, and amazing Carmen, who's caring and kind and considerate. So that's it for now. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Stay beautiful out there, you guys. We love you.